Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. Happy holidays to you and your family. The Lions coming off a big victory over the Cardinals in the desert. This week, we talk about some of the highlights, especially the players on defense. Gerard Davis, Romeo Okwara, Tracy Walker, A'shaun Robinson. And then we get into some of the injuries. The Lions had a lot of them in this game. You would think they're made of glass. Who's going to step up? We talk about Diggs' big hit. And then we have a new game, Bob. We ask him, what does Jim Bob Cooter's call the game? And then, this is where the fun part comes in. We start talking about the Lions' realistic playoff chances. And we'll get into the percentages and how that all breaks down. Then we'll talk about the Bills Mafia and Buffalo in the upcoming game this Sunday. Before we get into our ever-famous predictions. Thank you everybody for listening to Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid podcast. We really appreciate it. Especially during this holiday season. Now let's get this podcast rolling. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast where lifelong Lions fans,
UJ,
Rud Dog,
Bob,
Connor,
talk about your favorite team. The Detroit Lions, where victory isn't just talked about, it's earned. One pride. Let's get this podcast rolling. All right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. The Lions are coming off a victory. It's December 10th, 8:07 p.m. And it's nice to have a victory finally on our hands on this podcast.
It's what the Lions do. They win.
All we do is win, right, win, baby. No matter what.
We have very short memories.
The Lions coming off a 17-3 victory in the desert. The Lions' first victory there. They were 0-8.
Wow. It's hard to believe.
In Arizona. And we played them a lot in Arizona in recent memory. So it's even more.
They talked about that during the broadcast. And they said why we played each other so much is because we all had crummy records over the years, and and they try to match up, you know, because of the weakness of schedule or strength of schedule, they try to match up. So we just wind up playing them all the time just because we've been so bad for so long together at the same time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they had like 1 year reprieve in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. So,
I want to highlight, I mean, this was a defensive game from start to finish without a doubt. And, I mean, we can talk about the defensive performance as a whole, but I really want to get to one guy that really stood out to me in this game, and I hope he's growing into his own, and I think a lot of you agree as well. Gerard Davis, he was all over the place in this game.
He was a beast.
Stud.
Yeah, he looked awesome. Some big hits, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, and you and me, Rud Dog, we keep debating this. Is it Gerard? Jared?
Gerard. It's like Gerard. I looked it up, and it's a weird Gerard. There's like an AU sound in his A.
Well, Gerard. Even after 2 years, I feel like I'm still not quite saying it right somehow.
It's but, Jared.
Yeah. Is that what you say at the country club? Yes, Gerard.
Yes, Gerard.
Gerard, bring me some tea. Gerard. No, it's Jared.
There's some guy in the street saying
or
Gerard.
You can also call him Gerard.
No.
All kinds of ways.
Anyway.
but he rushing the passer, fitting up against a run, out in the pass game. I mean, he was everywhere in this game.
Yeah. His speed really shined through with actually finishing plays. It was nice.
Every time David Johnson was catching a pass, like in the backfield, he was getting hit like 2 yards back. I mean, he was getting nothing. It was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was
so
quick.
Hey,
Gerard Davis, 7 tackles, 1 sack, 2 for loss, 1 quarterback hit, and 1 pass deflection. All right.
That's nice. That looks very good going forward for the Lions. But I was just going to say, that was probably one of the worst football games I've ever seen. I mean, I know we're hyping up the defense, but that was a terrible game. That was the most lifeless game I've ever seen. No buzz from the crowd. There was like, I think it was more Lions fans, but there was hardly any fans in the damn stadium. And it was just some ugly football overall.
I thought it was a great game. We won. That's all I care about.
Yeah. The first half, you're right, especially maybe even three quarters. I thought I was like in hell or something because the game was so freaking boring.
Yeah, that was terrible. How did you guys? I don't know. I loved every second of them on defense. It was like a beauty to watch as like our D line just kind of manhandled the Arizona. Like they were not gaining anything. I think it was like through the first quarter they had like 20 yards on like 12 plays or something like that. It was like they were not moving the ball. And
it's the Cardinals though. Remember that.
I don't care.
And let's remember, you were drunk yesterday.
Yeah.
You were drunk yesterday.
So, what's your point?
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, that probably helps. I wasn't drunk, so.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I wish I was. But anyway.
Anyway, the point, though. Go back to your defensive analysis. I was just had to point out what a boring game that was, but go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I like defensive battles like that sometimes.
Well, yeah, if they're good.
Well, I want to highlight a couple other players as well in this game. I think Romeo Okwara stepped up a lot in this game, especially with injury. And then Eli Harold also, he played the most snaps of any game this season as well. So those two really stepped up in the absence of many injuries, which we'll get to in a couple moments here. But
Big Z, I think you're missing a guy here. I really do. A'Shaun was an animal in there yesterday. Aside from his two dumb penalties, he played a brilliant game. He was just unbelievable. He was hard to stop.
And his stat line was 8 total tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, and 2 quarterback hits in this game.
For D tackle, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. But I think our future bodes well for the line.
Oh, yeah. I like our front 7. We got a few really nice pieces there. But I just also like to go back real quick. I agree, when the Lions offense was on the field, I mean, that half was really boring. When the defense was on, I was enjoying it, but the Lions offense was inept once more.
Hey, we're focusing on what we did good in this game to start this podcast. And I want to get one more guy as well, and this was really notable to me. Tracy Walker played 61% of the snaps in this game. As well as Glover Quinn, but this is Glover Quinn's least amount of snaps played in a game since he was concussed about 2 years ago in a game.
The phase out is starting.
Oh, absolutely, and he played very well from all accounts. Like we would have to go back and look at the tape on some of his coverages and stuff like that. But from all we know is that Tracy Walker played really well in this game, and we only give up 3 points. So,
yeah. And Tracy Walker was visible, too. I mean, he was actually making some plays, and he stuck out. You noticed him.
Yeah.
Kid looks like a real bright future.
I love Glover Quinn, but, Father Time catches up to everybody. And I think Walker looks good for the future.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. We love Glover Quinn's been there since the beginning of this new Lions era, pretty much. And he's been
hard to believe. Yeah.
He's been a true Iron Man on the field. It's incredible. His start streak is ridiculous, especially for someone at that position.
It'd be really nice if Walker could make a transition to the post-Quinn a lot smoother.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And there's another thing I like about this defense. The fact that we have a cornerback that's halfway decent and Evan Moss can slide on the inside and play nickel. If the Lions can somehow find another cornerback in the offseason or in the draft – to fill whatever role Mike Ford is playing right now and keep Nevin Lawson at the nickel position, I think that would be really good going into next year. Personally.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, Lawson gets ragged on a lot, but he's a pretty he's a gritty player. You know, he makes mistakes, but he's been a net asset to us, I think, for over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him staying around.
I like his attitude.
Have Greedy Williams on one side and Slay on the other.
That sounds good to me.
That would be pretty awesome.
There's only 3 players in this game that played 100% of the snaps: Nevin Lawson, Jared Davis, and Quandre Diggs. So,
Diggs is a stud. I love how he brings the wood.
Did you see that hit Diggs had? Oh my god, that was awesome! That was so loud. I don't know if the microphone was right there next to him or something, but man, it was. You could hear that thing. That was incredible. I played it back like 5 times. I told Janet, hey, come here. You got to see this.
I want to get to the next part, and this is Well, my phone's ringing right now because the Lions are calling me to work out for them because they're running out of human beings to put on the football field. let me just list the injuries for you in this game. Deshaun Hand, knee, out. Ziggy, shoulder, out. Darius Slay, he returned. He has a leg injury. TJ Jones, he returned. Injury was unknown. Rick Wagner, out with a concussion. Tavon Wilson returned, but he was out for a while. Nick Ballore, out. Bruce Ellington, hamstring, out. Marcus Cooper, our defensive back, out. Charles Washington, hurt his hamstring, out. Luke Wilson, unknown injury, out. Snacks Harrison was out for a few plays and returned. So,
yeah,
jeez.
I think Luke Wilson tripped on the sideline.
One full unit, 11 players. That's crazy.
Yeah, yep. It's hard to believe that turf was so bad. I didn't realize they had those kind of issues with that turf, you know?
They usually don't. That was it was very unusual for the turf to be that bad in Arizona because usually it's one of the best in the league. They roll it out and they put it in the sun and they work on it and then they roll it back in. It's but this is exceptionally terrible.
Hey, Z, the injuries, in a way, they helped you because you got to see your boy Zach Zenner out there getting some time because
Oh, you know it.
But did that not tell you that we shouldn't have been waiting for injuries? He performed very well. I mean,
you know, he put on 15 pounds of muscle, and man, you could tell in the way he ran. You could just tell he had his drive in his legs, and he was powering through some of those arm tackles. He looked really good.
He was sharp and crisp in his cuts, and he was hard to take down.
You know, if you're going to be critical about it, it's late in the game and the Cardinals are probably a little more tired and we were just pounding on him. You know, you could say that. But, man, he did look really good, though. And he ran seven straight plays without a rest. I mean, it was all Zenner. That
I want him to keep going on the one he slid on. I want him to see how far – if he might, I think he could have almost scored on that.
Yeah. Well, that's one that was called back, wasn't it?
No. Oh, did it? I don't remember.
Yeah, it got called back.
But it was a nice run. He was going to have a lot of room.
Yeah. Zach Zenner, 12 carries.
Yards.
12 carries, 54 yards, averaging 4.5 yards a carry, and obviously the big touchdown at the end. But LeGarrette Blount,
that whole
12
drive was his.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there was one pass interference call to Kenny Galladay, but everything else was to Zach Zenner.
He needs to play more. I'm telling you, he just needs to play more. He's young, he's fresh, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. I mean, look how strong he looked. I mean,
that doesn't mean go get away from Blount because he has – I will give a Blount – I mean, he had a rough game. He's still slow, but he makes some nice runs here and there, like where he kicks it outside and gets the edge. He has a nice jump cut still, but he can't keep it up throughout the game, his effectiveness.
Yeah, but we might as well give Zenner a long look, you know, with the end of the season here. As long as he's got the carries available, let's give them to him.
Well, look, Kerryon's going to need a complimentary back. No matter what happens next year, and I don't think Blount's going to be here next year, we're going to need another running back. I think, and, you know, share the duties. And I think this should be Zenner's, you know, tryout. You know, give him some real serious carries and see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So with that list of injuries, though, there is Tyrell Crosby. He's going to have to probably step up at right tackle this week against a very, very good Buffalo defense. Shaq Lawson, most notably their best defensive end, who likes to line up on that side. Against Tyrell Crosby is definitely a little exposed at times in this game, so that's definitely a big concern going into next week.
Hopefully he'll have more of an idea if he's going to go in. He can prepare a little better and not be, you know, get spot duty. Hopefully that was a little bit of that. Yeah.
Well, there's no better way to get better than to play.
That's for damn sure.
And the kid's got talent, I think. I mean, I know he struggled a couple times, but I think he generally played a solid game for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been wanting him to put him at guard now ever since Lang's been pretty much shut down. See what he can do on the inside because he's got the big frame. Be a good road grader type.
You can already see the turnover for next year, huh? Lang, Ziggy. I mean,
definitely Ziggy's last game.
For sure. I don't see him playing again for the Lions.
I know. It's too bad, too, because when he's healthy, he's still really good.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
And it'll probably be he'll get picked up by a team and be healthy all next year.
Right.
That would be our luck,
But we can't take the risk, I don't think.
No.
It's been too much. I love Ziggy, but unfortunately, it's not working out.
Yeah.
But we got some nice, like, I think Okwara makes me feel a little better about moving on from Ziggy because I think he's getting better even. And he's got that big body. He's good in the, against the run, still affects the pass game from time to time. I mean, he's a nice piece to move forward with.
You got to like the way our defense is just trending. I mean, we've been one of the best defenses in football the last 4 or 5 games, statistically, I think.
Yeah.
And Big Z, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we ranked like 12th or 14th in defense now? Overall?
I'll have to look that one up for you.
Is that right?
I read something, and it's shocking to me. I said, I can't even believe that because we were so bad early on.
We should give a shout out to Slay, too. Big play Slay had his first career touchdown, I heard.
Amen, brother.
So, I mean, that play was nice. Textbook breakout.
Yeah, he read that perfectly and took it to the house. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, that was awesome. Nice play.
Defense won the game. No doubt.
Yeah, I even stirred in my chair for a moment there. Because, you know, they were lulling me to sleep, but then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did you spill your glass on your chest or you held in there? Right. Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, so, yeah.
But it was worth it to see that run. So that was nice.
For sure. Yeah, no one was touching him when he caught that, man. He was gone.
Yeah, what do you got? I think Slay's, you know, he's been banged up a bit this year, but I think, you know, he'll be right back next year to his old self. I mean, he's already shown flashes of his old self here, but.
Yeah, he's getting back his legs again.
He's, you know, he's been dealing with some nagging stuff this year, but he's a gamer. Guy's tough.
Yeah. Oh, and you, Jay, to answer your question, Detroit. At least in terms of yards per game, is 13th in the league right now.
13th, okay, yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is not too bad.
Top half of the league.
Especially the way we started, like you said.
Yeah, yeah, in terms of points per game, it's 19. So, but you can throw in a couple of sixes and fumbles.
Well, but if you just take it over the last 5 games or so, or 6 games, we're probably near the top.
Yeah.
In points scored and everything. I mean, our defense has really turned the corner here. And imagine if we can get a couple more studs next year. Oh, my God, this defense. I think they're finally buying into, you know, what Patricia's selling here, defensively anyway. Offense is another story, but
I want to build a linebacker core like some of these teams out there are getting these days, like the Cowboys and the Bears. They're getting all these stud linebackers, and it just you just see what it does for a defense. And Darrell Davis looks like piece number one there. For sure.
Yeah, Rudd Dog, earlier this year we were talking about what we need upgraded. We both said linebacker, which I totally agree with. I'd love to have a big impact, game-changing linebacker who just, like, scares people.
Have any of you guys seen that kid from LSU?
I haven't watched him.
He's supposed to be the best linebacker in the
– Devin White?
Devin White.
Yes.
He's at least as fast – as Jared Davis.
He's a smaller back like Davis, though.
Yeah,
he's more of an inside linebacker type. He's not known as like the pass rushing disrupting type. That would be more of a Josh Allen out of Kentucky.
And I kind of like that one better, actually, to be honest with you. But
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to have another inside linebacker that's a stud to go with Davis, but
for sure. I was just looking from a speed standpoint. The speed he brings is just
Well, you see the difference the speed makes. You know, like you were talking about the Bears, you know, against the Rams, you know, if they let a play out, they can catch up with it really fast and still make a play, even if they're out of position.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
Some speed is good.
Yes, it
is. Indeed.
And Davis has plenty of that.
I want to go back to Zenner really quick. Just on the topic more of, I want to just throw out a quick quote from Zenner like this. Did he know that he was going to get the kind of opportunity that he got today? He said, no, they just kept me out there and I kept running. I like that quote. I like that quote.
Yeah, I like that too.
Good one.
But Bob, I want to focus on you for a moment. Oh, Bob, the defender of the gym, Bob.
Yes.
I want to start a new segment here, at least for the last 3 weeks of the season while we have Jim Bob Cooter until he's fired. I want to get your Jim Bob Cooter call of the game here. Last week was obvious on the Taylor Decker play, but now I have my own list of candidates, and then feel free to get rid of them and come up with your own winner. But this is my list of candidates: is Zenner TD run, or we can just throw all of Zenner's 7 carries in there and, as one play if you want. The pass interference to Kenny Golladay on the last drive. Great call, Jim Bob. Just throw the ball where we can get pass interference.
What? That was a good play.
What? Hey, Aaron Rodgers does it all the time.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. I got one more candidate.
Sound a little facetious there. I thought that was a good play. But anyway, go ahead.
My last candidate is just having constant 3-and-outs and giving the ball back to the Cardinals so we can get more opportunities to get the pick 6 Darius Slay eventually got.
That was a good strategy by Jim Bob.
Yeah, it was a bold strategy, you know? Not every time you see it coming.
It's very humble, you know, to give Darius Slay the credit, you know, give him the opportunity.
Well, let's see what you say, Bob. What was your Jim Bob Cooter call of the game?
Yeah, handoff on first down to Blunt. That's my favorite.
We did
classic.
That for me.
Classic.
You know, you got to admit, though, Jim Bob's working with a limited staff here. You know?
Yeah, you're right, Bob.
These new the receivers they got, which is kind of disappointing, the Joneses and so I hope somebody would step up now that they have an opportunity, and it doesn't seem like they're getting any separation out there.
Bob Quinn does have an affinity with the last name Jones, a wide receiver. TJ Jones, Marvin Jones, Andy Jones.
It's too bad. I'm sure Cooter probably won't be here next year, but one thing he did say, which I agreed with, is give him a chance to look at some of these young guys and see what they can do.
Yeah.
And they're getting some looks, and so far it's not working out very
well. Bob, in defense of Cooter also, I got to say, you're right. I mean, and this goes with Stafford too. I mean, our receiving core is decimated. There's no separation out there. And I kind of get what they're doing. They're trying not to give the game away by making dumb mistakes and getting sacks, so they're making Stafford throw it quick. But even then, there's hardly anything there. But it's so painful to watch, man.
Yeah.
It's like, can't we do something just that throw some misdirection or do something to make them think we're doing one thing and do another? Like, we don't seem to do a lot of that.
Yeah. They've been putting Joe Ball in the backfield.
Earlier in the season, when you said, would you want to model us off the Bears offense? And I've come around on that. And I absolutely would love to have been running the Bears offense this season. 100% really? Would have rather done that. Watching it is way more exciting.
Did you see the play that Bears ran last night?
Wow. They're winning.
Offensive touchdown to the tackle?
Yeah, but do you see how it started? It started with a handoff, a fake handoff to a lineman running the ball up the middle, and then they wound up throwing it to a lineman going out for a pass.
Oh,
it was incredible. Yeah. There were no backs involved or receivers.
When you're winning, everything looks awesome. You know, I mean, because even the Rams didn't look very good last night, but they obviously have a great offense, but
it looks awesome, though.
A really good defense. Last night they were doing all kinds of shifts and twists and everything, and nothing was working for them. So
good point.
And when
it can be stopped, no doubt. But at least it's exciting to watch, and it tends to work more than we get.
So Red Dog? So you think if they just had a different scheme with their current personnel that they could be tearing up the league right now?
No, it's not that. I think that if Jim Bob Cooter knew how to call the plays that he has in his playbook currently in the right order and times, he would be a really effective coordinator. I don't have any problem with his scheme. It's literally just his decisions.
Well, we'll definitely – I mean, the writing seems to be on the wall that he'll be gone, so we'll do the post-mortem on him later. But I think what we really need for next year – well, a healthy Marvin Jones would be good. We need another receiver, and it would be good to have a – pass catching tight end.
Hell yeah.
I mean, they're working with some of these guys. They're doing okay, but
good Eddie,
like reliable pass catching.
They're not really doing okay.
Toy Lolo's definitely been stepping up though recently.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Like Toy Lolo had a good game.
And if you watch some of the film, he's actually doing a really good job run blocking lately as well.
Yeah, he's been solid.
Which is pretty notable. He's been one of the higher rated tight end run blockers.
I still wouldn't consider him much of a weapon though. He's been doing a good job of making some plays here and there, but he's not like a.
But hopefully he'll keep progressing, but I still think they need another guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a receiver, they want a burner. I think they want someone with real speed to take the top off of defense. Because right now, these guys, separation is our biggest issue. And you don't necessarily have the top speed to do that, but it helps the whole offense when you have someone who even two safeties over the top can't necessarily stop, you know. Yeah. That's what I think they need at receiver. Because none of our guys have real elite speed.
Well, they need a guy who can get open, you know, in like 10 yards. I mean, because we've got guys like Galladay and Marvin Jones who can get that deep ball.
We had a guy, Jace Billingsley.
But yeah, Jace Billingsley.
And a guy named Golden Tate.
Yeah, we had that guy too.
He really was that.
He was the only one
that worked out very
right
well for the Eagles either on that. But.
Nope. So I guess we won that trade. I don't know.
No.
Well, we can. Well, I'd say we lost in the short term because we would have been a lot better on offense with him.
Yeah.
But I think it was the right move ultimately. But I don't know.
I think it was a shrewd move.
Up for debate.
And it will pay off next year when.
Well, Bob, I'm with you. It was an ugly move, but it kind of had to be done. It was good business. Yeah. It just didn't.
It definitely hurt our offense though, because it was tougher to adjust to him than I thought it would be. Missing him,
but.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially in those short, quick screen throws. Stafford loved to throw to Golden Tate all the time.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what they do in this offseason to try to they're not going to be able to replicate it, but who they can get. I agree. They need a quick guy that has good agility that can maneuver within the 10-yard space.
Riddick has stepped up a bit as of late.
You're
starting to see some flashes of the old Riddick, but that's not all the way back there, though, for sure.
All right, I want to move on to. Well, this is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, and we like to drink the blue Kool-Aid on this podcast. The Lions currently have a 1.8% chance and making the playoffs,
according
to some predictive models.
Oh, baby.
But I think it's
almost 2%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Let's round up to 2.
Let me read you current.
I think they went up from like 0.06.
Yeah, they went from 0.4 to 1.8.
Improved their chances.
Oh, we're trending upward. Nice. All right.
I want to list out the current standings right now and what we need to happen. And feel free to comment at any time. This is everybody that's above the Lions currently. I'm going to go in order. The wild card team. So Seattle 7-5. They're going to be automatically in. They have like a 99% chance of making it. And they already beat the Lions. So Minnesota currently sitting at 6-5-1. And they are currently actually playing the Seahawks right now in a big game. And Seattle is up 3-0 at halftime. So if Seattle can hold on to that, that would be huge for the Lions, getting Minnesota to 6-6-1. And then Minnesota plays at Seattle, home against the Dolphins. So they're at Seattle right now, home against the Dolphins. Then they play us in Detroit, and then they go to Chicago. So we would need Minnesota to go 7-8-1 in order to overtake them. So the Minnesota needs to lose 2 of their next 4 games, including tonight's game.
And we have some control in it, too.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. We get to take one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah. The Lions, well, following Minnesota, the Lions then have the Panthers. The Panthers are 1 game out at 6-7. The Lions just need them to lose 1 more game.
That'll happen.
By the way, I'm doing this scenario as if the Lions have 1 out and they are 8-8. So.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, they are 6-7. They go to the Rams. Houston at home and then at Washington. Those are some really tough games. And then they are 4-6. They have a 4-6 conference record, and we have 3-7 conference record and a weaker strength of schedule. So basically, Philadelphia, if they lose one more game, we would overtake them.
Dang.
The Redskins. This is a team that we need to lose 2 games, but luckily they're playing their 4th string quarterback right now.
Yeah, they're not very good right now.
Did you see the fans leave the stadium at halftime? There's like 100 fans left in the 3rd quarter.
Jeez. Oh, jeez.
Unbelievable. That stadium holds 90,000+. So the Redskins sit at 6-7. their schedule is at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, and then home against Philadelphia. They could very lose all three of those games.
Yeah.
We need them to lose twice because they have a 6-5 conference record, and that is the first tiebreaker if there is no head-to-head tiebreaker.
Mm.
And that's why I keep mentioning it. Then there's Green Bay. Green Bay at 5-7-1. If we win out and beat them in the finale, which is in Green Bay, we will overtake them based on head-to-head.
Done deal.
I love it.
Done deal, absolutely. There is another team that we need to lose one game, which is Tampa Bay. They are 5-8. We need them to lose one game because they have a better conference record as well. But they are at Baltimore, at Dallas, and home against Atlanta. I feel like they'll lose one of those games.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And we're really looking good. Keep going.
Yeah, well, then there's the Giants that sit at 5-8, but we have a stronger strength of schedule, and we would have a tie in conference record. So we would overtake them just by matter of winning out. Sweet. So wow. Saying all that, I mean, I really like the chances of Lions possibly making the playoffs.
This is awesome.
If we win out.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Because I also want to note one more thing. The Lions' strength of schedule, which is a tiebreaker, the third tiebreaker, like goes head-to-head conference record, then strength of schedule, and then their strength of victory after that, and then a coin toss. But the strength of schedule for the Lions, they have the toughest, they have the best strength of schedule in the NFC, which means they have played the toughest schedule of anybody in the NFC this year.
Well.
So that should also give you some hope for next year as well, that there's no way we have this type of schedule next year. I also want to mention one more thing about the schedule. The Lions have played four different teams off of bye week this year.
Wow. Yeah, that's almost not fair. I mean, you're fresh coming off a bye week, you know. That's tough.
Hey, Z, how do you figure we're going to
That's true. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Don't they usually make it tougher?
That's kind of the genius of the Lions. They're going to get in the wild card, so they don't have to play the toughest schedule because the first place teams all in the division all play the toughest schedule in the following year. So we'll get the lowest seed, we'll win the Super Bowl, and then we'll have a good enough schedule to get in the playoffs again next year to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're right. Wow. You're right, Bob. Like, why are we wasting time talking about these high draft picks?
It's really
ridiculous. It's all just, you know, ridiculous.
Right.
We don't have a chance at them.
I know.
So, blue Kool-Aid drinkers out there, there are three games left in the season. So, please constantly root against Minnesota, Philadelphia, the Panthers, and the Redskins. Those are the big ones you got to worry about. Keep rooting for them to lose. It gives you more to watch on a Sunday right now for the next 3 weeks as well.
It does.
Yeah, but the Lions,
the way our defense is playing, man, there's hope in any game we're in. I mean, they're really playing some solid D these days. So,
absolutely, seriously. It's kind of like you just hope that their offense is man. It's hard to say this, but the fact that we just need our offense to be just effective enough to maybe score 20 points, and you really like the Lions' chances the way the defense has been playing lately.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I don't know if the Kool-Aid's tasting better or. We got a good match. I don't know, but I'm feeling really hopeful these days.
Absolutely.
Be an epic storyline too, coming from 4-7 or 4-8 all the way up to 8-8, and then winning the Super Bowl. Just a epic tale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that how the Packers did that one year?
They squeaked in on the last week, I remember, and I think they were the wild card, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they
went and won it all.
It can be done. That was what happened for them. Their defense started playing really good, remember?
And then
that was when, like, Clay Matthews and DJ, won, they did that whatever, they just started tearing it up and then allowed the offense to kind of function, and they were in. Hey, I like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So now having said that, the Lions need to win this week and they are traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo, very, very tough place to play. Buffalo was mocked at the beginning of the season. They were getting blown out. One of their corners quit on them, Vontae Davis. He just walked out at halftime of the locker room.
Said,
I'm retiring. I'm done with this shit. It was one of the funnier storylines, especially because people are starting to ask, like they do every year, there's one really bad team to start the season. Can Alabama beat this team? That question was being floated around a lot. Yeah, of course.
So the, which is ridiculous.
The Bills are coming off a home loss, actually, NFL team against the New York Jets. I don't know if you guys remember the Jets this year against the Lions, but
yeah.
All right, I just had to throw it out there.
Don't remember. The Bills, what are you talking about?
More notably, a tough home team, though. They are 2-4 at home this year, so they haven't been killing it. But they usually play very tough at home. They are led by Josh Allen, first-round draft pick this year. So in this Jets game, he is 18 of 36, no touchdowns and 2 picks. But this this guy can run. He had 9 carries for 101 yards in this game and a touchdown.
yeah, I was just reading about that.
Yeah, the Bills as a whole, 176 rushing yards in the past game. Josh Allen absolutely looks to run with the ball.
Well, I like that because Davis is really good as a spotlight guy.
Well, he's really big, too. I think he's like 6'5", 230 or something like that. He's a big guy.
Yeah, you're right. You hit on the head, 6'5", 237 out of Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got – I think he's leading the league for quarterbacks, too, if I'm not mistaken. He's got 490 yards, I think. And he likes to run. And he's got 5 touchdowns rushing.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's good. It's good that he's a good runner because I see where – we ranked 30th out of 32 teams in the poser passer rating. So if you can't throw the ball,
Josh Allen has lived up to his hype, I guess you can say, or his evaluation coming out of college, that this guy has an absolute cannon for an arm. He threw a touchdown this year. It was the second longest touchdown in NFL history just by in terms of the ball being thrown in the air to a receiver catching the ball. I think it was I think it was 68 yards. It went through the air. This guy's got a cannon for an arm, but he's also super inaccurate. He's averaging just over 50% completion percentage, which is not good by any means. 52.4%. So,
I like that matchup. Davis will spotlight him and keep him in contain.
We got Davis shadowing him. We'll be in good shape.
Davis shadowing, and I'm looking for a lot of zone out of Patricia here, waiting for Josh Allen to make that errant throw that sails over one of the receiver's heads.
I'm looking for Tracy Walker sitting right there for it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect game for Tracy Walker to step up and make a pick. It should be noted, LeSean McCoy had 2 carries in this last game. He may or may not be injured coming to this game. If he is, Chris Ivory will step up. He hasn't done too much this year. Their receiving threats are – tell me if you've heard this, any of these receivers before. I've heard of Zay Jones only because he was a high draft pick. But Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, Deontay Thompson. I haven't heard of any of these guys. These
Everyone's heard of Isaiah McKenzie, Zach. Everyone's heard him. Come on. It's Isaiah.
Wow.
But I do want to note, this might be another game that we saw last week.
I was just thinking the same thing.
The Buffalo defense is number one against the pass in the NFL.
Bring it on. I'll take another game where we win by 7 points.
I mean, in this last game, Darnold went 170 yards and a touchdown. New York beat him with some special teams and obviously 2 picks off Josh Allen to set up good field position.
Wow.
But this Buffalo defense, very, very good against the pass, led by a good pass rush. From Shaq Lawson.
Did you see the Jets? The Jets cheap shot at the hip?
Oh, I did see that. That was really dirty.
Bills give him a hip injury, like after the play. Yeah. So maybe he'll hit it.
That is amazing, isn't it? The 12th man that we have this year.
His injury.
Seriously.
It is.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
It seems to happen a lot.
Do you guys have any more notes in this? Oh, I do have one more note, and that is the Bills Mafia. Just a shout-out to them from one fan base to the other. I don't know if you want to call it respect. I don't know if they get a lot of respect necessarily, but a lot of people find them very highly entertaining fan base. They're known for jumping off cars or the back of the pickup truck and breaking tables in the parking lot. Sometimes they're on – I've seen tables on fire that they jump into. I've seen, like, a guy have his baby. One of the more trendier videos last year in the NFL was this guy with his baby little Bills fan, and he drops his baby on this little plastic table that breaks. It was really funny. No, there's not. Wow. These fans get these fans.
There's
get
not much to do in Buffalo.
Game.
There's a
yep. They're known to wings, throw dildos on the field during the game football. At opponents. The stadium gets really
you
wild.
Said dildo.
It would actually be really fun to go up there. I feel like they're a fun fan base. They've had a lot of misery in their own right, losing four straight Super Bowls in a row.
So that's not just Tom Brady that gets the dildo.
Yeah,
stuff.
No,
it's just
you probably see it against Brady because he's a more
seen
notable
that
player
against
but
Brady.
It does happen often
I don't
up
know
there. I mean, there you can look it up and there's videos galore of the stuff that happens in the stands and it's hilarious. And the fans know it. I think the fans are like they love the viralness of their fandom as well because like, hey, people can see us in Buffalo here. It's pretty cool. The Bears getting a big victory on Sunday night in Chicago, 15-6. Seven interceptions thrown in this game. Jared Goff with four. Mitch Trubisky with three.
We showed them the way. We showed them the way to stop that offense.
That's what I was telling Bears fans. And you're like, shut the hell up. But
yeah,
I'm telling you,
really
there's definitely a model from our game to theirs. The fact that against the Rams, you don't have to play the run. You just play the play action. Let the run beat you. Don't let the pass beat you against the Rams.
Yeah.
And that was what the Lions did. Unfortunately, they gave up a couple of bigger runs than they would have liked it to. But
at the end, especially.
Yeah.
The Packers got a victory over Atlanta. And then, as noted, Minnesota right now down 3-0 at halftime. Which leads us into our final segment. It's everybody's favorite segment. It's America's and especially Detroit and the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers' favorite segment. It's predictions.
Predictions.
So, the Lions coming off a big victory. We got three games left, and as we told you, a better than 1.8% chance of getting into the playoffs, in our opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So, Rud Dog, I want to start off with you. What's your prediction for this week, the Lions going into Buffalo?
All right, so this is going to be a little odd. You know, like this game's probably going to be hyped as one of those sort of defensive battles just because we came out of one. But I'm going to go with something that I have been not too inclined to do of late, and that's predict above-average output from the offense. I think they're going to put up 27 points. I think that the Lions defense is going to continue its trend of performing well, and they're only going to give up 13 points. I think Tracy Walker is going to have fun chasing around some overthrown balls from Josh Allen. I think Jared Davis is going to shut down the quarterback run, and we're going to come home with that W, 27-13 Lions.
All right. I like it.
All right. I like it too. All right. UJ.
All right. Some of what I agree with what Red Dog is saying, but and I'm usually optimistic toward the high scoring games, but I'm kind of coming down a little bit in this one after seeing what our, but I know, but
wow.
I think we're going to score 24. And I think the Bills are going to score maybe 10. And I think what we're going to do after what we saw that we did with the Cardinals, we're going to see a heavy, heavy dose of running. We're going to put extra linemen in and we're going to pound the crap out of their line. And we're going to wear them down. Zender's going to get 100 yards. LeGarrette's going to get 80 yards. And we're going to score 24. And they're all going to be rushing touchdowns. And 24-10.
All right.
Wow. Lions. That'd be a monster rushing game.
Yes, that's what we're going to see.
Bigger even than we're carrying.
I love it. I love it. All right, Bob.
All right. Well, I think the defense is going to be a little pissed because they didn't get the shutout last week. So they're going to be playing tough. You know, they're still trying to get that shutout. But we're going to hold the Bills pretty well in check because the defense is playing pretty well. And I think the Lions offense will wake up. I predict Stafford will throw for more than 96 yards. He will top that.
Ooh.
And we're going to score 31 points. We're gonna give up six. It would have been nice, nine, but they're going to hit the post on one of their field goal kicks. So,
I like it.
So 31-6.
I love it.
Right?
I love
Lions
it. And then we'll bring
Victory
that home into Minnesota for our last home game against Minnesota. My prediction: Zenner coming off that big last drive to win the game. He's going to step up. He's going to split carries with LeGarrette Blount in this game still, I believe. But he's going to have 80 yards rushing in this game. LeGarrette Blount will have about 50. Stafford's going to have one 13-yard run in this game as well. And I think Galladay goes for about, I think he goes for about 80 yards. But I'm seeing this as a little tighter game. I'm going to see this as a 17-13 victory for the Lions. I'll give the Buffalo Bills some credit for their home stadium because I feel like the Lions are going to struggle there a little bit early, but then close it out at the end.
Hey, it's a win.
All right.
A win's a win's
take
a win.
W.
Hey, did,
keep the hopes alive.
Sounds did we good. All pick a win?
Yeah. And then our percentage, then our playoff percentage goes up to 2.4% or something if we win that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid. This is a Detroit Lions podcast, of course. We hope everybody has enjoyed what they're listening to this year so far. And there's 3 games left, folks. As we said, don't give up hope. There's still plenty of opportunity out there. Root against Minnesota, the Panthers, Philadelphia, and the Redskins. And that's all.
Hope is alive and well.
Yep. So please listen, subscribe, share the podcast, leave a review. And as always, go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will run a yield. And when the blue and silver will not yield, then engine blue might rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With our you will keep your faith. Down the field in game, the Lions victory. So, boys, right? It's so bad.
I love it.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.